The World This Week, Politics.
More than 5.5 million people in Florida were told to evacuate ahead of Hurricane Milton, the state's second giant storm in 2 weeks. Milton was recorded as the strongest hurricane to cross the Gulf of Mexico since 2005. It lost some of its punch by the time it hit Florida's west coast, but still packed winds of 120 miles per hour. That's 193 kilometers per hour. The biggest threat to coastal towns came from storm surges, predicted to reach 12 feet or 3.7 meters in some places. Claudia Sheinbaum, Mexico's new president, unveiled her strategy to tackle violent crime. She plans to focus on improving intelligence and investigation capabilities, as well as coordination between security forces, much as she did as mayor of Mexico City. But tackling well-armed criminal gangs across the country will be a far harder task. Near starvation conditions in Haiti are forcing more young boys to join the criminal gangs that in effect control the country, according to Human Rights Watch. Its report came a few days after the UN said that an attack by the notorious Grand Grief gang on the town of Ponsonde had killed 70 people. Meanwhile, the Haitian government roundly criticised the decision by the neighbouring Dominican Republic to send Haitians who live there illegally back across the border. The Dominicans plan to deport 10,000 migrants a week. Haiti's foreign minister described scenes of Haitians being rounded up as brutal and an affront to human dignity. Brazilians elected over 5,500 mayors and tens of thousands of city councillors in local elections. Centre-right and right-wing parties were the winners, with incumbents being re-elected in most municipalities. Though local concerns dominated the elections, the results are considered a bellwether for national sentiment. The party of the left-wing president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, did poorly. The first legislative election in a decade in the Indian area of Jammu and Kashmir was won by the National Conference, a regional party aligned with Congress, the main opposition party at federal level. An election in the state of Haryana was won by the governing Bharatiya Janata Party, a much-needed boost for the Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Its victory was a surprise. Polling had put Congress well ahead. Two Chinese engineers were killed in a suicide attack in Karachi. The Balochistan Liberation Army, which wants to separate the province from Pakistan, claimed responsibility. In the past, it has attacked Chinese nationals who worked on development projects, claiming locals are not being fairly compensated. Russia attacked Ukraine's Black Sea port of Odessa again, damaging two ships in separate strikes. Ukraine said Russia was trying to disrupt the successful work of its grain exports corridor. Russia also targeted Kyiv with a barrage of drones, most of which were shot down. Meanwhile, Russian forces closed in on Toretsk, another frontline town in East Ukraine, a week after the fall of Vuhledar. Russian intelligence agents have been trying to cause mayhem across Britain and Europe, according to Ken McCallum, the director of Britain's MI5. Around 750 Russian diplomats have been expelled from Europe since the start of Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February 2022, most of them spies. Mr. McCallum said Iran had also stepped up its attempts to cause disruption. As well as terrorism, MI5 now contends with state-backed assassination and sabotage plots. In a video address directed at the Lebanese people, Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, said they should free their country from Hezbollah to avoid destruction and suffering like we see in Gaza. Meanwhile, fighting between Israel and the Iranian-backed militia intensified, and Israeli airstrikes on Beirut and southern Lebanon continued. Lebanon says more than 1.2 million people have been displaced. Israel marked the first anniversary of the Hamas attacks of October 7, 2023. The government produced a pre-recorded broadcast. Families of victims of the attacks and the hostages in Gaza, many of whom had refused to take part in the government event, held their own memorial. Kais Saied, the president of Tunisia, won re-election in a landslide with more than 90% of the vote. Only two candidates were allowed to stand against him, and only 29% of the electorate turned out. Mr. Saied's nearest challenger was sentenced to 12 years in prison for falsifying documents just 5 days before the poll. Tei Atzke Selassie was appointed Ethiopia's president after Saleh Werkzaudeh, Ethiopia's first female head of state, resigned. She had reportedly fallen out with the Prime Minister, Abiy Ahmed. It is the latest sign of disquiet within the government. Ms. Saleh Werk's appointment in 2018 was seen as evidence of the Prime Minister's liberal instincts. However, creeping authoritarianism has since stained his record. Counting began in Mozambique's election to choose a successor for President Filipe Nyusi, who is stepping down after 2 terms. The most likely winner is Daniel Chapo, Mr. Nyusi's hand-picked successor of the Frelimo Party, which has ruled Mozambique since independence from Portugal in 1975. Britain's Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, lost his chief of staff just 3 months after taking office. Sue Gray was a senior long-serving civil servant before joining Sir Keir's team. Her resignation came after weeks of headlines about controversial donations from a Labour peer, the level of her salary, and briefings that her management style was delaying government decisions. The British government was criticised by opposition politicians for its decision to hand sovereignty of the Chagos Islands to Mauritius. Under the agreement, Britain retains a lease of the military base on Diego Garcia, a vital hub in the Indian Ocean for far-flung American operations. But critics question how secure that arrangement will be once Mauritius takes over. The race to become the Conservative Party's new leader was whittled down to Kemi Badenoch, an outspoken anti-wokist, and Robert Jenrick, who takes a hard line on immigration. Tory MPs discarded other more centrist candidates. Conservative rank-and-file members get to choose between the final two, with the results on November 2nd.